Our first speaker is Kimberly Rauscher. She's going to be speaking on occupational health literacy and the risk of work-related injury among young workers in the U.S. She's an assistant professor at the Department of Community Medicine at West Virginia University and is a faculty affiliate of WVU Injury Control Research Center. In 2005, she received a Doctor of Science in Work Environment from the University of Massachusetts Lowell. Her research studies include adolescent workplace violence, health and safety of youth working in construction, social disparities in adolescent occupational injuries, and issues around the U.S. child labor laws, among other things. She's going to present one of her results from one of her studies today. Kimberly.
Thank you, Mary. Good afternoon, everybody. So, as Mary said, I'm going to talk to you today about this new concept that we invented called occupational health literacy and looking at its relationship to the risk of work-related injury in an adolescent worker population. A study done with my co-authors, Doug Myers from Duke University and Carol Runyon, who's now at the University of Colorado but has spent most of her career at the University of North Carolina, which is where some of this work began. We have no relationships to disclose. And I'd like to acknowledge that this study was funded by a grant from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. So just a brief overview of what I'm going to talk about today. We'll first talk about, so what is occupational health literacy? Why do we think it's related to injury? Give a brief overview of the study, talk about what we found, some of our conclusions, and then briefly talk about our planned next steps. So what is occupational health literacy and why might it be related to injury risk? In developing this concept, we looked to the Department of Health and Human Services Healthy People 2010 definition of health literacy, which, as displayed on the slide, says the degree to which individuals have the capacity to obtain, process, and understand basic health information and services needed to make appropriate health decisions. So we adapted that to create our concept of occupational health literacy. And we substituted health information for workplace health and safety information and decisions about health with decisions regarding staying safe and avoiding work-related injuries. This model shows the relationship between health literacy and good health. So with health literacy, one has the capacity to obtain health information and services, the ability to process and use that information to make appropriate health decisions that then lead to good health. So we thought, well, if general health literacy is related to good health, then occupational health literacy should also be related to occupational health and safety. And on the right here is a similar model with the occupational health, the occupational literacy term. So the capacity to obtain workplace health and safety information and understand and process that health and safety information, use that to make appropriate decisions, which should then lead to better health and safety. So given that, we wondered if there could be a relationship between occupational health literacy and occupational injuries. And on the right, we just recall the model we just showed, and on the left is a model that shows a very basic model of the relationship between higher OHL and lower injury risk. So if you have higher OHL, you're in receipt of more health and safety information, you understand how to use this information, you use it to guide your safety decisions, which then lead you to stay better protected at work from injury. So the basic hypothesis is with higher levels of OHL should be associated with lower injury risk. And we looked at this particular question in a population of young workers. So this is a secondary data analysis of cross-sectional survey data collected from over 2,000 young workers between the ages of 14 and 18 in five high schools across the U.S., two sites in California, two in Massachusetts, and one in Philadelphia. These data were originally collected for this Young Workers Project, which was a cooperative agreement between NIOSH and UNC with several site collaborators across these states. The survey included data, basic demographic data, age, gender, race, socioeconomic status, which was mother's education, employment variables such as occupation and industry, and several items on work exposures, what types of jobs kids are doing, what kind of hours they're working, and also an item on self-reported injury experience, as well as several questions pertaining to occupational health literacy. So just want to take a few minutes, go through some slides to talk about how we measured OHL and the score construction. So we looked at OHL along three dimensions. The first is receipt of health and safety information, health and safety knowledge, and awareness of important health and safety concepts. Receipt of health and safety information is broken down into two components. This is receipt of general health and safety information and specifically employer-provided health and safety training. So with receipt of general health and safety information, respondents were asked, had they ever been given information on how to stay safe at work from sources inside their school, so this could be as the school nurse or teacher, or sources outside of the school, their parents, their friends, and also from their employer. So we give 1 point for each source. And then health and safety training, there were five specific health and safety topics that they could be trained on, so we assigned 1 point for every topic on which they were trained. Putting these together, we have a total information score with a range of 0 to 8. Health and safety knowledge. This was created using correct answers to 5 questions about the child labor laws. These were questions pertaining to work permit requirements, the types of jobs they're allowed to do, restrictions on hours. Again, 1 point, this should say 1 point for every correct answer. That's an error with cut and paste. So the range of knowledge score is 0 to 5. In awareness of health and safety concepts, respondents were asked to agree or disagree with a series of 5 statements about health and safety. These are just a few examples. I should have safety training before I begin a new job. Work injuries are preventable. So again, 1 point for every statement which with they agreed. In a final score of 0 to 5 range. So again, just to recap, information score, knowledge score, awareness score, and then we summed these to create a total occupational health literacy score with a range of 0 to 23. Injury outcome, this was self-defined, no limits on severity. The question was, have you ever been injured at a paid job? And I can tell you that 16% of those who said they were injured said they had their injuries so severe that they had to seek medical attention or they had missed 1 or more days of school or work. So let's look at some results. Age and gender. We have mostly 16 to 17-year-olds in this sample. We have a really nice distribution of race, lots of diversity here. I think this is a credit to the multi-site nature of the study. With SES, very few respondents had parents with graduate education. The 47% had a mother with a high school diploma or some college. Is that for me?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Take a breath.
41% reported being injured. That's a lot. So let's quickly go through some of the component scores, and we have limited time, so I apologize that I am going to go through these series of tables rather quickly. Information score. Recall that the scale is 0 to 8. We see fairly low information scores, not a lot of receipt of health and safety information, an overall mean score of 2.9. And we see some gender and age differences, with males having slightly more information and information increasing by age, which might not be that surprising. Racial differences and differences by SES, really nothing to speak of with the SES, but some slight but significant differences by race, with black and African Americans and Hispanics having higher information scores than Asians and whites. And a lot of demographic differences will show up over and over in the other scores as well. Knowledge score, again, our scale changes are at 10, lots of knowledge, They really know the child labor laws. They know, at least they know the answer to the 5 questions that we ask. So a mean of 8.4, again, you're seeing the same gender and age group differences. Here we don't see the race differences, but we do see differences by SES, and really what we're seeing is that kids whose mothers have some graduate education have lower knowledge than those with parents who have less education. Might be contradictory to what you would expect, but we can discuss that. And moderate levels of awareness in scale of 0 to 5 with a mean of 3.1, consistent gender and age group differences, and differences here, similar differences here by age and, by race and ethnicity, but not by SES. So lastly, this is the total OHL score range of 0 to 23, see somewhat moderate level, 14.5. Again, all the same demographic differences that we've been seeing all along. So let's get to the meat of this. Before I get into the slide, I just want to say that we use Cox regression to obtain prevalence ratios because our the prevalence of our outcome was so high. You recall 41% of the respondents reported having injuries, so that required us using Cox regression. So in this slide, we have the relationship between OHL, total OHL score, and injury prevalence. We have 4 models. The model 1, unadjusted, going to 2, 3, 4. Fourth is fully adjusted for all these covariates. At the bottom of the slide, you can see what we adjusted for. The first thing that you might notice when you see this slide is that the prevalence ratios are in the opposite direction from what we expected. So what we're seeing here in Model 1 is that for every increase in OHL score, we're seeing a 4% increase in injury risk. Remember, we expected to go the other way, okay? And as we adjusted for work history duration, age, gender, race, all the way to age, gender, race, SES, city, we're still seeing a significant increase in injury with higher OHL. I'm just going to jump over all the way to Model 4 for the rest of these slides, okay? So the fully adjusted model, we're seeing, again, an increase with information, more injury risk. Here we're not seeing anything. Knowledge is not showing a relationship with injury. In awareness, we're seeing a slight increase, but none of these results are significant. So what this shows is that awareness and knowledge are not associated with injury in these results, and that information is, and that information is really the key dimension that's driving the relationship between OHL and injury. As we said, the hypothesis we originally had was that more OHL, more information, would lead to lower injury risk. We're seeing the complete opposite. So why the findings in the opposite direction? One of the things we think might be going on is that kids who are in more dangerous jobs are more likely to receive health and safety information training. So we thought we needed to investigate this issue of job hazardousness a little bit further. So we developed a measure of job hazardousness. I have not looked up hazardousness in the dictionary, but I'm going to say it's a word. And so we used age-specific Bureau of Labor Statistics injury rates per 10,000 workers. We looked at the minor occupational level very briefly. These are divided. There are major levels, minor levels, and then there are 3-digit levels. They go from broad to fine. This is somewhere in between, okay? And we actually looked at all of the levels, but this is what we're going to talk about today. So this slide shows all the component scores with the total OHL score on the right and the prevalence ratios. So what do we see again? We see that knowledge and awareness is not related to injury. Information is still significant, even after adjusting for everything, including job hazardousness. So we wanted to then go and investigate information even further. So what we did is we modeled injury prevalence using the components of our information score. So first we looked at the information portion of the information score, which is the receipt of the general health and safety information that you get from sources inside the school, sources outside of the school, and we saw that there was no relationship with injury. But then when we looked at just employer-provided health and safety training alone, we saw this increase, a significant increase. Lastly, we created an interaction term using these two, the information and the training score. And we just start to see the beginnings of a protective effect, even though it's not significant. But we're encouraged because we think this means we can't quite discount information yet. So what have we learned from this so far? Knowledge and awareness are not associated with injury prevalence. Information is. More information, higher injury prevalence. We believe we've come to understand that our BLS job hazardous measure is maybe not the best measure. It didn't account for the injury and information association. When we adjusted for training, which is perhaps in our study a better marker for hazardousness, it made information alone non-significant. But when we looked at the information training interaction, that's suggesting that if youth have higher information and higher health and safety training, that might lead to an increased risk in injury. Decreased risk in injury. Thank you. My co-investigator's going down.
Can you speak your awake?
Thank you. So just a few limitations. The original survey that we worked from was not designed for this purpose, but it had such rich data, and we thought this, would be a really good opportunity to use this data set. So the OHL measures have limits. If we were to design it again, we might do it a little differently. And again, the job hazardous measure is quite crude. At the minor occupational level, you've still got a lot of grouping of occupations, which means there's a muddling of exposure there. And it's a cross-sectional study, with all the limitations of a cross-sectional study. It's possible that the injury preceded the information. We just can't determine that with this, so that's why this is really exploratory. And lastly, our next steps, in terms of further analyzing this question, we are going to look more deeply into the hazardousness issue. We are planning to do matched analysis on job, gender, and age. And we have additional analysis that we want to look at. We have found a relationship between lower SES and higher injury risk, and we want to look and see if OHL has a role in maybe mediating that relationship. So those are the future directions that we're taking this study in. And this is our contact information. We'll be around. We have cards if anybody wants to talk after today. So thank you very much.